Good evening. I'm the one you've got. I am the designated hitter, third time removed. So, you get what you pay for, you know. Take your Bibles, and I'm going to turn a few places tonight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And then put your finger in 2 Kings 22. Hebrews 1 and then 2 Kings 22, 1. And you're thinking, wow, boy, this is quite a stretch, and yeah, it is. So hope you're limber enough. Let me open in prayer and we'll start. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you have spoken. Thank you that you have made yourself known. May we be strongly, firmly committed to that, and may we live obedience and faith and hope in you daily. So guide us tonight as we open up your scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. He spoke to our fathers by the prophets. In the last of these days, God has spoken to us in or by Son, whom He appointed. As I look at this, every now and then I need a kind of a refocus. I don't know about you. So, looking at this and then seeing that God has spoken, how old is this spokenness of God in this letter? Give or take 2,000 years. Give or take 2,000 years. So it's been a while since he spoke. Is it still relevant? Is it still expected of us what he has spoken in there? Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you. Now, the idea of God speaking, go to 2 Kings chapter 22. How many of you have read 2 Kings 22 very recently? Cody has. Man, he gets a prize. This is obviously Israel's history. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He is coming down towards the end of the God's blessing upon Judah, and Israel is already in real trouble. They're gone. So it says here, he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He was 39 years old, and he was killed by Pharaoh Necho killed him in battle. Mother's name, and notice verse 2, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. The 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, so forth, so on, go to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money. We are in 2 Kings 22, verses 1, and so forth. That has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. Let it be given. So they're going to make repairs to the house of the Lord. This is about... He started in about 641 B.C., 640, 641 B.C., to reign. 18 years later, this is what's going on. And they have all this money to make considerable repairs, constant upkeep of the temple. How old's the temple by now? 300 years, somewhere around 300 years old. So there's some upkeep that has to be done. Consequently, they're doing this. Let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house, but no accounting shall be asked from them for the money. Verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. What do you mean you found it? Where's it been? I mean, I've read this before. So that's why I say every now and then I need a reset. And I thought, what's going on? I kind of knew. Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money. They've got all this money, so we're getting the work done." Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. Let me read it for you." When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, why would you do such a thing like that? The king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son and so forth, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that has kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So what book did they find? I'll give you the answer. I don't have time here. The answer is, more than likely, at least portions of Deuteronomy, if not portions of a lot of the Pentateuch. In other words, they are reviewing the covenant that they entered into 800 years previous. So God holds them accountable for something that took place 800 years previous? Wow. Man, that's pretty serious. So here he's going down here. They went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Haras. They talked with her. Now, here's the prophetess. She said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands." I can't continue going through this whole thing, but then you read chapter 23. Get into 23 and you will see how bad things were in Judah. You'll see there all the garbage that is in the temple. And you will see how far they have drifted away from what they should have been doing. So if this is the case with 2 Kings here, I wrote some things down out of Deuteronomy that maybe they read, that they should have probably read. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. God says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today." In other words, God is expecting what? Obedience. He expects you to do what you have said you will do. How many generations does he expect of this? All of them. Just because it might be In Josiah's time, just because it's 800 years later, he still expects obedience. And he expects obedience on the basis of what? Of what he has written down. This Deuteronomy was written by whom? Moses. So here is the expectation that they would pay attention to. Chapter 10. I don't know if you've read this one recently. Chapter 10. Verses 12 through 16. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord, walk in the Lord's way, love the Lord, serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, keep his commandments, statutes, which I'm commanding you today." Notice verse 15. "Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples as you are this day." Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. That's the command. How will you do it? There is no, as far as we see here, there is no human way to do it. Repentance would be close. Circumcision of heart is by whom? By God Himself. And yet this is demanded. This is demanded by God of these people. Wow. It's kind of a hard one to chew on a little bit. The expectation, the demand, and yet it can only be done by God. So all this is going on, and where are we reading this? In Deuteronomy. What book did they lose? Deuteronomy. Here, I'll give you a couple others. I don't have time to say these. Chapter 31, verses 9 through 13. 31, 9 through 13. Levites, the priests, are given the responsibility to read the law, to read this book, every 7 years. Every 7 years, they're supposed to be teaching this. In verses 24 through 29 of chapter 31, Levites are in charge of this book. Where did they find the book? In the temple. Why weren't the Levites doing what they should have been doing? Well, there's a lot of reasons that you can go back through and review, but they obviously failed to do what they were supposed to. Chapter 33, verse 10. The Levites charged to teach all Israel the law. They are charged to teach what God has given them. So all this is going on. And then I think as I come back here to chapter 22 of 2 Kings, it's kind of like a reset for me to figure out, okay, now I must be paying attention to what God says. And what has happened that they lost the book of the law and, oh, we found it. How many years has this book of the law been lost? I'll give you the answer. More than likely, Manasseh. And how long did Manasseh reign? 55 years, okay? And God didn't give Manasseh's son too long. He only gave him 2 years. So that's 57, okay? And how many years had Josiah reigned? And he didn't know about this book of, they didn't find it? 18 years. How many years is that? 18 and 2 is 20, and 55, that's 75 years that this book of the law had been lost. And you will see the perversity and the wickedness. And Judah had always problems. So did Israel. They all did. But you go through this and you think, what do you mean they lost it? And God had given clear responsibility to them, okay, to do this. And so here in verse chapter 23, Josiah will reform. He'll bring reformation. We all like reformation. He'll bring reformation to Judah. How long does the reformation last? 5 years. As long as he's alive, and that's not much longer. What happens after Josiah dies? Josiah's son comes on the scene, and they go right back down the tubes. Go right back down. He seeks to bring Judah to proper obedience to the law and rid the land of idolatry. Do they do that? Absolutely they do. They cleanse the temple. They do all sorts of things. And then when he's dead, it goes away. So as I think of this, and then I go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times, in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Well, that's what we've been reading. We've seen that. We've seen the horrific failures that Judah and Israel had gone through, and their failure to obey. And then here this letter says, in the last of these days, God has spoken to us in Son or by His Son. In other words, there is the quality, it is still God's Word, but it's a superior speaking. Because now it is God the Son incarnate who has come down to speak. So now we have that. And as I try to reset my own frame of reference and my own concept here, I look at this as being important because it kind of reminds me, am I paying attention to God's truth? I appreciated Colby the other Sunday talking about the importance of God's truth. God has spoken. How many in Josiah's time period how many people had their own book and books and scrolls that they had personally in their own home so that they could sit down and read it anytime they wanted? Now, we think what we hold in our hands is common. It is not common. William Tyndale died for having this book in your language. So it is not common. It is not ordinary. In fact, it's rather amazing that in the last 400 to 500 years we have this book. And then you whip out your phone, you got your little handy-dandy phone, you got 10, 15, 20 different Bibles on there. So here, once again, it reminds me, I said, Mike, you have to reset, you have to understand, you have to be focused once again, that this is God's truth. It is not, I know you may differ with me, it is not a scientific textbook. It speaks about certain things of science. It is not a math book. It may hit math. They add numbers every now and then. It is God's truth speaking about who He is, and it's God's truth about speaking about who I am. So I need a reset. And I read this in Josiah. I read it about Israel who were God's covenanted people, old covenanted people. And then I say, how in the world did that happen to them? And then I say to myself, Mike, can that happen to you? In other words, you know, kind of a reset. I don't know where you're at. I just thought, this is not something that's really far out and just amazing truth, but this is just needs to be a reset for me. And once again, an encouragement to me that I need to be careful in my time that I spend reading the scriptures, in the time I spend in trying to seek God and to pray and to honor Him. In other words, obedience to the new covenant. And that's what we are, new covenant people. We believe that we are found in the Lord Jesus. We believe that He's the only Savior for us. So that is the reset. I think I need every now and then just to kind of go back, look at some of this, review it, and say, I don't want to be like Josiah's time. I don't want to be going along in life, just skipping along, and then all of a sudden, oops, where's the book? I lost the book. I think, yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to be able to say, yeah, this is where I'm at. This is what I want to do every day, not just Sunday. Okay, we're not just Sunday lovers of Jesus. But 7 days a week, we want to love the Lord our God and be in obedience to Him.